of a very funny, sacrilegious, scatological musical called The Book of Mormon. So imagine a lot of clean-cut young Mormons all jumping up on stage, singing this song, ringing doorbells, holding up the Book of Mormon, saying, "It's great, we're here." Sounds like this. Let's have some more.
This book will change your life.
It's
The Book of Mormon.
So you're just off and running when that opens. So it's been a huge hit in Broadway, or on Broadway, and also in the West End of London. It's just opened in Melbourne. I saw it the other night. It's the story of two young Mormon missionaries who are sent off on their first gig to Uganda. It's by the creators of South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And it lampoons the Mormons and maybe religion in general. Anyway, we'll talk about that. But there's all this polished choreography and catchy tunes and winning smiles. It's hard not to be seduced. There's a huge banner outside Melbourne's Princess Theatre, you know, where they write those words that say, you know, brilliant, wonderful, hit. And this one says blasphemous. So that's what they're trying to catch you with, that someone has said, yes, wow, this is blasphemous. So how are they getting away with this? Well, Jane Howard is an arts journalist and critic, and she's written about this on junkie.com. Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi.
So I guess we should say we better have a language warning because it gets pretty rich, the language in this show. Anything else we need to say about the story, Jane?
I think you've pretty much covered it. The sort of two naive boys who have grown up in a very sheltered environment and are suddenly thrust into a world that they don't understand.
So one of them's a kind of all-American hero type and the other one's a sort of goofball, and they're a kind of odd couple who's sent off on their first adventure to Uganda, where they chum up with all these other Mormons who are a bit lost and bewildered by how on earth they can possibly do anything in the kind of surreal nightmare that is Uganda.
Yeah, absolutely. Just unlike anything they would have ever come across, but are being put in this situation as these sort of saviours of the Ugandans, which does not go well for them.
No. So why do you think it works so well?
I think what really works is how I was really surprised at how much the creators really cared about all of the characters. It's obviously, yeah, like you say, it's blasphemous and it takes the piss out of everyone, but it really just does care about all of the characters and it cares about musical theatre as a genre, and it's quite touching and nice in a really surprising way.
Touching is a good word, Jane, because you can highlight all the scandal and all the offensive stuff, but in the end there's something just heartwarming about the goodness of the people whose side we're on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're on everyone's side. I mean, obviously there's the sort of warlord who we're not on the side of.
No, he's bad. He's evil.
He's bad. There's the archetypical bad characters. But we're not really asked to take sides amongst the Mormons or the Ugandans. They kind of come together in a really interesting way as a team over the course of the show.
And Jane, I reckon as we could hear there, it's right in the heart of the musical tradition. It's a 100% musical. It's what you expect. There's singing and dancing and show tunes.
Absolutely. It's very, very reminiscent of the golden age of musicals and pays amazing homage to that genre and the music and the choreography and the structure of the show. It's based entirely on this history of musical theatre that I think a lot of us really love.
This is Books and Arts on RN, and we're talking about the Book of Mormon, the musical. Let's hear another little taste of this. This is called I Believe.
I am a Mormon, dang it, a Mormon just believes. I know that I must go and do the things my God commands. I realize now why He sent me here. You ask the Lord in faith, He will always answer you. Just believe in Him and have no fear.
Now, it occurs to me as we listen to this that this could be in the style of Jesus Christ Superstar, but Jesus Christ Superstar is totally affirming about faith, whereas this is all a piss take. I mean, we look at these guys' purity of belief and we're standing outside and thinking, that's not going to play, Jane.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I went with a friend who is religious, and she turned to me during the interval and she said, I'm loving it, but I'm so glad it's not about my religion.
Well, let's open this out now, because we're joined also by journalist and former Mormon, Adrian Lowe. Adrian,
hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Also stand-up comic, Justin Hamilton. Hi, Justin.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Good. So, Adrian, you are... What's your relationship now with the Mormons, the Church of the Latter-day Saints? Where do you stand?
Not as an active member. Was certainly brought up that way, and family is still active in the church. So I could totally relate to everything that was happening in a religious sense in this show.
So you recognised the Mormons,
yeah,
did you?
Absolutely. It's the research and the way that the characters have been borne out is... It's really astonishing how true it is.
So did you do that whole thing? Did you go up to people's front doors with a little badge on your chest and say, hi, I'm from the Church of the Latter-day Saints?
No, I didn't, but I've had the rest of my brothers and sisters, so one sister, two brothers who have done that, went away for 2 years and spread the word.
And did you laugh with joy in your heart, or did you laugh with the sense of... should I be enjoying this?
A bit of both, actually. The joy in the heart, surprisingly, Mormons are actually quite open to satire and laugh at themselves pretty easily.
Do they?
They kind of get the cultural side of things is a bit odd, and especially in Australia where, you know, yes, this is a very American religion, so some of the things that we try to get implemented just either don't work or are kind of funny.
Well, to a lot of other Christians, the Mormons seem a bit nutty because... The premise, briefly, as I understand it, is that the Mormons say there aren't just two books in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's this other one called the Book of Mormon, which this guy, Joseph Smith, found in a field in America and where it had been for hundreds of years. Is this right?
Yes, that's right.
But unfortunately, the gold tablets on which it's written somehow got mislaid.
Yes.
But he copied them out, and they just happened to be in the language of the King James Bible.
Yes. Yes. He was able to translate, yes.
That's what I find
yes.
the most difficult part. Justin, when did you see it?
I had the opportunity to see it in on Broadway. I took my mum over for a 60th. Yes, clang, clang, clang. But I took my mum over for her 60th birthday, and we are card-carrying atheists, and we loved it. But one of the reasons we wanted to see it is being an Adelaide boy, we used to have young Mormons come and knock on our door. You know, in summer, it'd be like 35-degree heat, and my grandfather and mum would say, look, if you want to come in, that's fine. We're not interested in hearing about God, but if you want to come in, you're more than welcome to. And we used to have Mormons coming over to our place all the time, to such an extent there was two in particular. I remember one of them was called Elder Packard. They desperately wanted to see the movie Flying High. So they came over, got changed into civilian clothes, snuck into the city, and while they were sitting in the cinema, turned around and saw two more of their elder mates right alongside them. They had the best time and came home. And I remember them specifically acting it out for us. And I have nothing but good faith for the Mormons. I don't believe in what they believe in, but I agree. I think they've got a great sense of humour. And this show sold out in Salt Lake City. So if it's selling out in the Mormon heartland, I think they have a keen sense of what's pretty funny.
In fact, Adrian, I note that the Mormons are advertising off the back of this. Instead of trying to close the show down, they're trying to leverage it, as we now say.
Yeah, absolutely. The charm offensive, particularly in Melbourne, is unprecedented for the Mormons in Australia. You know, they're reasonably small religion here with about 55,000 self-identifying members. You know, about 10, 15 years ago, we all thought the church was cutting edge for getting a Christmas ad on SBS. You know, so this is completely unprecedented.
Well, isn't the idea, Adrian, that they think by the time the amount of people come and see this play, that will outnumber the amount of actual Mormons in Australia?
Quite,
is that right?
Quite possibly, but I think I think it
definitely will by several hundred thousand, maybe.
Right, yeah,
but I think the slogan that they're using is kind of clever. I mean, obviously, the truth of the book is up for discussion for everybody, but the idea that, you know, it's you've seen the show, now read the true story.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of cleverly
revelaging
it. Oh, is
that their slogan?
Yeah. It's like seeing Blade Runner and then saying, read the Philip K. Dick novel. Like, that's how they're trying to bring
and
about.
Totally normalising the idea of Mormons through their advertising campaign. There's a well-known NRL player who's a member who's part of this campaign, other normal members from Melbourne in the ads saying, you know, this is what I do and this is how the Book of Mormon has helped me. So in terms of a PR offensive, I think it's pretty, it's definitely in your face.
All right. Now, one of the gobsmacking moments in the show is when the Ugandan people sing a song called Hasadiga Ibo I, which is pretty funky. And they're all, so I suppose what we should explain is that this village that these Bormans have come to, the all-American guy and the dorky one, in which they're supposed to spread the word of God or the, you know, the word of Jesus in the Mormon version. This village is really just a place of horror. So it's being threatened by a really scary, brutal warlord who is going to come in and brutally circumcise. Well, brutally circumcise. He's going to circumcise the young women in the village. Yeah. That's his plan.
Yeah, brutal isn't needed in that sentence.
No. I saw that, but too late. There is AIDS is rife. There are people who believe they can cure AIDS by having sex with babies. There's all this horror around them. It's a nightmare. And when they get up and sing this song, you think, oh, this is a funky song. I'm going to play some of it because what happens is they then tell you what a Hasadiga Ibo I means. Now, I should say I grew up in a church-going family, and listening to this was like being chucked out of an aeroplane without a parachute. I could not believe what I was hearing. So this is a very strong language warning, listener. It's offensive. It's blasphemous. If you have children around, you might like to turn this off. But I think we should look in the face what we're talking about. So just listen carefully to these words, and you'll hear what's going on.
Excuse me, sir, but you should really not be saying that. Things aren't always as bad as they seem.
Yeah, so if you can hear what they're saying, they're actually saying F you God.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Right.
And I just thought, I can't believe what I'm hearing. I mean, Adrian, were you about to pack up at that moment or?
No, not at all, but I found it too funny to leave. But I was surprised. But then, you know, knowing where this show is coming from, the creators of it, knowing the...
You mean the creators of South Park?
Yeah, from South Park. And this is the sort of material they've used to make a successful television show. I wasn't particularly shocked that this was the way they were going.
Jane, I actually found this show, this musical, far more life-affirming than South Park, which I can't stand. I just think it's a sort of brutal, destructive, cynical sort of show. But it seemed to me that there was a belief in life. And actually, this is like the story of the Book of Job, that these people in the village have got so many torments visited upon them that in the end, they just turn to God and say, well, if this is what you visit on us, God, you know, we don't want any part of you. And they say it very crisply. How did you take it, Jane?
Yeah, I think it's. I think life-affirming is probably the right word, weirdly. It is just joyous and it keeps on returning back to that joy. You know, whether everyone will find it that way, absolutely. I'm also not a big South Park fan. Somehow this one worked for me, but I can definitely say this isn't going to work for everyone.
Well, nothing works for everyone.
Exactly. And I think that's what's interesting about a show like this is we can have that sort of debate about what why things work and why things don't. And I think part of the reason that this does work is that it is that liveness of it. And then you sort of really feel the energy of the performers. And that's sort of what they've really embraced what the live space means. And that probably also, you know, coming from an American context and talking about the language in the show, there isn't the sort of level of ratings censorship that you have on some television shows. On a stage, you can be a lot more free.
It's interesting, Jane, because the Americans are very, very modest about what they'll put on free-to-air television, much more modest than they are here. I mean, often an American will come onto this show and say, can I say, you know, shit? We'll say, yeah, off we go. There's no problem, you know. What strikes me, though, Jane, and Justin, let's go to Justin. What strikes me, Justin, is that we think of America as this God-fearing country in which the power of religion is hard to resist. And yet here is this show that is flourishing. How do you account for that?
Well, America's a strange place. Personally, I'm a fan of South Park, and I think you have to watch it in the context of what America is like. And on the one hand, it's deeply conservative, but on the other hand, they really embrace freedom of speech. So that's how you can have such right-wing views and conservative views on the one hand, but then they'll do, you know, like the roasts flourish over there, you know, when they'll roast someone. Over here in Australia, roast doesn't quite work. It's almost like what we just do with our mates. Why would you do it on stage with someone else? So I think over there, they're very good at grabbing stuff and running with it. But I think what's important, and I think Jane really hit the nail on the head earlier, the musical side of it is spectacular. As a musical, it's brilliant. And what I think the South Park guys do really well is while they'll use words that will grab your attention, the context is usually much deeper than it really is. And I actually think that part is really joyous and really optimistic because, as you were saying, it's the Book of Job, and there's this kind of, oh, well, I still have a faith, even if it's not an organised faith.
Mm. And I think that kind of flows into the show, its premise anyway, at trying to ape Mormonism, because that is, music is a huge part of the Mormon culture.
Yeah.
They try to be optimistic all the time. There's a whole sort of upbeat, joyous, life is great, as we found in one of the other shows with the idea of switch it off. You know, that really is the way they try to go about.
Yeah.
And you know, the characters go abroad with a set of ideas and they learn. And so isn't that an optimistic message to send to everybody, that they go, they have their worldview broaden, and they still maintain a level of faith, even if it's not the faith that they were taught was completely correct?
Well, they actually come home better people.
Yes.
Don't they really?
Right. But it's also got some really funny language that, you know, I think we've become so conservative with entertainment as well. I don't know if Jane and Adrian would agree with this, but, you know, I think we've forgotten that sometimes entertainment is meant to make you feel a little bit awkward. Sometimes it's meant to make you jump in your seats. I went up in Sydney, I went and saw a production of All My Sons with Arthur Miller, and I'd never seen that play before, but before I got in there, there are all these signs warning about that there's going to be a suicide in the play, just in case that upsets you. And then 5 minutes into the play, I looked at the actor John Howard and went, he's going to kill himself. And then I got to the end and he did, and it wasn't a shock to me because they'd already been warning everyone, oh, you might feel something that you're not meant to feel. Entertainment's not always meant to be completely feeling great. Sometimes it's meant to, you know, shock you.
I also feel that when we put those language warnings at the front of a story, even here today having to do it, or on the television, you know, when it says the following show contains sex scenes, act of violence and strong language, it makes the show seem grubby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to have those warnings, whether it's language or if it's content. I think a really big part of, particularly things like performance, when you're sharing a space with people and you can't sort of, you know, turn off the radio or turn off the television. I think taking care of your audience is really important.
No one's going to go into
Book of Mormon not knowing what it's about.
I think that's a really important part of it. I'm not saying we should take away language warnings. They should be there because people have a right for their families not to be deluged with stuff they don't want. But it does have that effect. Nevertheless, sadly, the side effect is that...
Well, there's a difference between a language warning saying, you know, maybe this isn't appropriate for children of a certain age, and then something that breaks down everything that's going to happen in it. There's going to be a sexual scene. This person's going to look at this person in a nasty way. This person's going to use a word that makes you feel awkward about things in your life. And then eventually you get to the end of it.
That also assumes that sort of the joy in seeing something is in the plot. And we've discussed a lot of the plot today on Book of Mormon, and I don't think that's going to ruin it for anyone. I think people are going to go in. So I think sort of talking about the fact that there's a song called F You God, I don't think that actually impacts.
No one's going to be shocked.
Yeah, well, it's not even about being shocked. I think it's all about the way that it works in the moment. And if a show is ruined for you because you know something's going to happen, then I don't think it was a very good show. And so I don't think that's what's happened with the Book of Mormon at
Jane,
all.
Jane, just briefly, I didn't ask you where you saw it.
Oh, I saw it in Melbourne the other week.
Right. So I'm sure you'll agree that the cast are fantastic. The two lead singers, performers, have come here from the Broadway and London productions. And the role of the girl in the village, Nabalungi, is played beautifully by Zara Newman. And Bert Labonte plays her father, Mafala. But all of them are just wonderful singers and dancers, didn't you think?
I thought Zara Newman in particular, her solo was one of the highlights of the show for me. Just to have such a different voice in the mix of that show. It's a very male-heavy show, and to have that female solo was a really beautiful moment, and she pulled it off. I've not seen her in a show that big before. I've seen her in lots of smaller work, and it was really great to see Australian actors sort of on that stage and really holding themselves in that story.
Yeah, me too. And I've heard her sing often, but I didn't know she could sing like that. She's a superstar.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Well, thank you to all of you for coming in.
Thank you.
I think we're giving this show the thumbs up, aren't we?
Definitely. Yeah. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And none of us offended each other, so that was great.
What a shame.
We'll have to try harder next time.
Yeah.
Good on you. Thank you so much. Adrian Lowe is a Fairfax journalist and, I guess, an ambivalent Mormon who's giving the show his thumbs up. Two thumbs up, he says. Jane Howard is a freelance writer and Justin Hamilton is a stand-up comedian, writer and broadcaster. His latest show is called Bunter Boy and it's touring nationally. You can catch it at the Adelaide Fringe. So have you seen the Book of Mormon? I'd love to know what you made of it, how you explain its cosmic success. You can talk to us on Facebook. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is RN. You're on Books and Arts.